This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're with me, Melissa Idris, Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani, right here on The Morning Run. 7:46 right now. We've got the Breakfast Grill coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Ibrahim, you're going to be speaking to Stephen Phipson, head of the Defence and Security Organisation for UK Trade and Investment, UKTIDSO.
It's that's right.
Alphabet soup there.
So the alphabet soup, UKTIDSO, is basically governments assisting private, the UK government assisting private UK defense companies in making sale overseas. They were just in Malaysia and they met our defense minister, our home minister, because they want to sell arms to these individuals or ministries. And the core question right now is, how is it that the UK government, particularly spending taxpayers' money to make sale for private firms like BAE Systems, how is this fair? Because this is truly, socializing cost but privatizing profit right here.
Okay, so on the Breakfast Grill, Stephen Phipson, more about the defence sector and how the UK and Malaysia will be cooperating on that front. That's coming up 20 minutes on the Breakfast Grill. But coming back to local business news, Felda Global Ventures making headlines this morning for saying that its output of the fresh fruit used to churn out palm oil has dropped 17% so far this year as dry conditions from El Nino are hitting crop yields.
So just like India, we're banking a lot on weather right now. And if the yield is actually down 17%, then CPO prices could rise as much as 10% by August. And this is coming in from the FGV new CEO, Dato' Zakaria Arshad.
So this will push up their margins, although productions and volumes would come down. There is that trade-off between pricing and volume.
Yeah, that's right. So inventory will be kept leaner, I suppose, in this sense. And while the FGV financials is picking up quarter on quarter, they are still in a problem of trying to manage the M&A deals that they are already engaged in. And when the press was asking Dato' Zakaria yesterday about their future M&As, Dato' Zakaria says that FGV under his tenorship will not be pursuing any M&As going forward because of that problem of their core business managing expectations on inventory and rising prices.
Right. Also, FGV recently in the news because of they voluntarily withdrew their certification for RSPO, right, for responsible for the Roundtable of Sustainable Palm Oil. And he said that there's a huge number of people in the Felda Group. If they're doing anything against RSPO, sooner or later my certificate will be withdrawn. So before this happens, it's good for me to look at my own house, he says, which is a fair comment because I think he has realized that perhaps he's fallen short on some of the standards required by the certification and has voluntarily opted out of it and perhaps to revisit that at a later date when, his, quote his words, his house is in order.
Yeah, I mean, he is from these small mills, right?
He has a really interesting background, right? So he started from the very bottom?
He started from the very bottom. Okay. He was one of the planters, settlers. He understands the plight of these individuals. And to keep up with the green certification, the RSPO certification for these small mills, it's going to be tough for them to actually comply.
This is a really sensitive issue because certification costs money and whether the consumers, the main parts of which come from China, India, even people in Malaysia consume a lot of palm oil, whether they would be able to afford this kind of cost of certification, let alone the planters. The consumers also need to be able to afford them. And in that sense, this rise in CPO price, while it may be good for producers, it's not very good for the consumers. This brings in the issue of biodiesel, right? Because with biodiesel, you are really carving out some of your inventory to convert them into oil and put them into cars, which are really owned by people of the upper classes, middle to upper income. Mm-hmm. Whereas palm oil itself is consumed by a lot of the poorer income people. So I'm just questioning whether the biodiesel policy is very controversial, because it has the potential to influence price rises, to initiate a boom in prices.
You know, this biodiesel champion that we have in the government is Douglas Ugah Embas. He hasn't resigned just yet.
He has resigned.
The Minister of Commodities and Plantation. And he was trying to say that it will actually help, biodiesel will actually help the industries better. But, you know, he's no longer there, and he's now moved as to become the deputy chief minister of Sarawak. So perhaps, and this is my wishful thinking, we might see the biodiesel plan being rolled out in Sarawak because it follows him as the minister. And maybe we can extrapolate the result of that biodiesel performance in Sarawak and how it affects the CPO business there. Perhaps we can transplant that to the country when it's working well.
Okay, well, from the plantation sector, let's move over to the aviation sector. Some news on that industry at the moment. 8 budget airlines have formed a new alliance meant to help them better compete against Pan-Asian low-cost carrier groups. So this alliance is called the Value Alliance, and it will hopefully unite them in wrestling for market share from the likes of Air Asia and Jetstar and Lion Air.
Sounds a little bit like one of those Marvel comic, you know, Value Alliance. But yes,
it's like the Avengers. Like the Avengers. Is for
how
the
are they
going
to execute it? I mean, low cost is all about driving down costs. Does the alliance itself cost money? Because if you're, I don't know, if you're going to share, have some kind of code sharing agreement with each other, will that platform cost money and add to the cost of tickets?
Well, let's take a look at some of the airlines that's part of this Value Alliance. Tiger Air from Singapore, you've got Nook Air Thailand, Nook Scoot Thailand, Vanilla Air Japan, and Jeju Air in Korea, as well as Cebu Pacific, Tiger Air and Scoot.
Yeah, so these are individuals, if you can see, they already have far-flung markets that they operate in uniquely to each other. So that's right, Julian. I think it's very difficult for them to find some synergy and try to make cost savings out of this, because to keep an alliance going, you need a lot of coordination. And with a lot of coordination, both people and the businesses, you might cost more money in actually making this happen.
Yeah, you don't want... This is like the election, right? The alliance being the opposition. You don't want opposition members to spoil the votes, right? So if they're going with the same routes, how are they going to negotiate that overlapping route? And you're talking about huge numbers of aircraft, if you look at the fleet. And this is who they're challenging, right? Lion, AirAsia, and Jetstar. Mm-hmm. And if you combine those three biggest producers, they have a formidable fleet size compared to the alliance. I guess that's one of the reasons why they have to get together as well.
You know, Air Asia alone has enough fleets to match the entire 8 airlines within Value Alliance. They have about 160 over planes. Value Alliance has a collective of about 170 over planes. So if they want to take on Air Asia and also the other two airlines, Air Asia alone is a big animal to actually tame with this.
I don't know whether this actually will have Air Asia shaking in their boots. I think, you know, like many of us, they'll probably just wait to see how this alliance will pan out, what kind of cooperation they're talking about.
At the end of the day, we're going to benefit. We hope to see
consumers.
Cheaper prices.
BOC Aviation, which is Asia's biggest aircraft leasing company by asset value, well, they've attracted some big-name investors for their IPO yesterday, including Boeing and China Investment Corp, which bought about 1.1 billion shares. Sorry, that's the size of the offering.
Yeah, so 1.1 billion US dollars is the size of the offering within the IPO. And BOC Aviation is actually a subsidiary to China's Bank of China. So this is one of those extremely rare cases where a bank starts going into the airline business, perhaps through their private equity sector. We have the PE firms of our own banks, but they're not as adventurous as, say, the BOC. They do, for instance, CIMB PE, they do go into real estate and also plantation. Maybank has a private equity arm as well, but not as adventurous to go into aviation.
Just still on the airline news, there is this piece of opinion coming out of Bloomberg that Singapore Airlines is fighting to prevent travelers from switching to Emirates, which is offering luxuries like onboard showers, while budget carriers are also chipping away at the economy class. And this has resulted in falling yields for Singapore Airlines.
Okay, so I can see where they're going with this. So the budget travelers want really budget, no frills. And the luxe travelers want the shower and the full bed and the comfy...
So you're caught in the middle.
So who is it that's in the middle? So is it one extreme or the other? I don't know.
I think you're pushing the consumers to opt for budget traveling, because you can't eke out that a little bit extra just for flight, because you want to go somewhere, either for business or leisure, for that trip itself,
But there are people who want the luxe, right? Want the luxury trip. Yeah, many of them want. So then they go for the really premium full service airlines. But the ones who just want to get there, no matter how, they go for the budget traveling. So what happens to the airlines in the middle, not quite premium, but not budget either?
Yeah, this was a question that I posed to Crystal Muller when he was on Breakfast Grill as well. And he said that it's not necessarily an either-or situation. You don't have to be defined as purely a full-service airline or a budget airline. You can be something in the middle. I guess that this would be a challenge for us to see whether Mars can compete in that kind of situation, because they're higher cost than a low-cost platform, but they're smaller than a luxury airline. So where will they go from here? It'd be interesting to see how Malaysia Airlines get around that kind of business model.
Moving on to Warren Buffett, who has just revealed that his investment firm has bought $1 billion stake in Apple. Now, Berkshire Hathaway disclosed yesterday a holding of 9.8 million shares in Apple. And this is really interesting because, you know, Warren Buffett, known to traditionally shy away from tech stocks, known for his value investment, but so I guess this is a boon for Apple?
This could be bad news for names like Apple and Yahoo, right? Because they've become eligible for Warren Buffett's radar. You've become a slow, stable company rather than the kind of innovative tech, moonshot kind of companies that tech companies are known for.
Yeah, I mean, Berkshire Hathaway is famous for investing in companies like Coke, for instance, who has been around for hundreds of years and, you know, who sees maybe 0.1% growth year on year.
But a lot of cash flow.
I guess, yeah. And we know that Apple is sitting on a mountain of cash right now, over 150 billion, if I'm not mistaken, US dollars of cash.
What is going on, you guys? Yesterday, we spoke about Warren Buffett throwing his financial weight behind the bid for Yahoo.
Yeah.
And I really couldn't get my head around that. And now to hear that he's invested $1 billion in Apple, I'm thinking, has he changed? Has he changed his mind about tech stocks?
I think these companies are becoming that slow.
So the IBM, you know how he's invested in IBM. So now Apple and Yahoo have become the IBMs of the 2016.
I wouldn't exactly classify Apple as a slow-growing company, even though they reported disappointing numbers for the first time in a very long time. And somebody like Yahoo, they have Alibaba. So I guess Warren Buffett is sniffing out where the cash is and following its direction.
Mm-hmm.
7:59 right now. We've got the 8 o'clock news bulletin coming up in about a minute. After that, the Breakfast Grill. Ibrahim will be speaking to Stephen Phipson, head of the Defence and Security Organisation for the UK Trade and Investment. So make sure you stay tuned for that on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.